Jane and I would like to share the gospel with you. The story of Jesus walking through a rite of passage, but also an experience that launched him into a vision quest experience where he knew his calling in this world. And as Jane and I present to you under this cacophony of Holy Spirit doves, it's appropriate that we hear about the dove descending on Jesus.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him,
"You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'Oh, we have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these very stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is laying to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire."
And the crowd asked him, "What then shall we do?" In reply, he said to them,
"Well, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise."
Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them,
"Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you."
Soldiers also asked him, "And what should we do?" He said to them,
"Well, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages."
As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying,
"Oh, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire."
So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them by shutting John up in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him boldly, like the form of a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God.
For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Pastor Dale and I are quite excited to start a new message series today that we're calling Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. You know, I think so many of us in the church think we know everything there is about this character, Jesus the Christ. But we're hoping that we all might lean in with a little more curiosity to consider this character who is at the center of our faith and who has so impacted Western civilization. So in these coming weeks, we're going to unpack some different dimensions of how Jesus acted in the world as agitator, as miracle maker, liberator, visionary, and other roles, other capacities. But for today, we want to spend some time on how his call and commissioning started with him the day he was baptized. We are creatures of water. We're told our bodies are 80% water. I remember last summer preaching at Church in the Park on a pretty warm morning, and got here to preach the next service and was seeing all these swirly things around the edge of my vision. And I thought, I might fall down and pass out. Until a couple of you pointed out, you might be dehydrated. And indeed, that was the issue. Any of you ever had that issue where you think something's going on with me and you just needed more water? We are creatures of water. We're hoping that this morning, in a few minutes, you will all respond to coming down and touching these waters of renewal that we have in basins up at the front as an act of renewal for all our baptism. So we up here in our bay, we have our own love affair with our protected pure waters, don't we? Yeah. It's part of the reason many of us decided to settle here. But I have to say, some people take water to a limit beyond my taste. Tom, let's call up this image. Zach Wessels is a member of the congregation here. Zach and his family often sit over here. Zach, are you here today? Because I'm going to say some incriminating things about you. This is Zach Wessels, January 1st of this year, doing his annual jump into the East Bay just to sort of have a little refreshing dip. He cordially invited me to join him. I cordially declined. But if anyone knows a reputable psychiatrist I could refer to Zach, I would be glad to do that. That's Zach having fun in the water. He looks very alive, doesn't he? You know, that's not white sand on the beach, by the way. Oh, my gosh. Christian baptism is a sign act that you only need to do once in your life, but it's all about water. You know, we United Methodists are glad to honor infant baptism before anyone really knows, has an awareness of God in their life, in a verbal sense at least. We gladly baptize because we believe baptism is God's first move toward us in a formal corporate setting. We also would honor believers or adult baptism. I know that comes out of some traditions, maybe some traditions you grew up in. We're glad to sprinkle over you, as we did little Amelia today, pour over you, or dunk you full bore submerged in the bay, as we've done several times at Church in the Park. If any of you have a yen to do that sooner than later, Pastor Dale would be glad to oversee that. You know, it's a powerful rite of passage to be reminded of, even if you cannot directly recall when it happened to you. Perhaps you heard about the family who were coming home in their car after worship on a Sunday morning. And there was the mom and dad in the front and this beautiful little four-year-old in the back seat. And about halfway to home, the little one just started crying, really deep, sobbing tears. And the father turned around and said, is something wrong? What's going on here? Tried to console the child, but the child was inconsolable. After like the third time of the parents asking, what on earth is wrong with you? The little one could utter out his story of, the minister who baptized me at church said I was to be raised in a Christian home, but I want to stay here with you guys. Baptism gives us a new identity, but get this, you get to live it out at home. Thanks be to God. It's where we're supposed to live it out. So let's go for a moment to the banks of the River Jordan, where Jesus is about to be baptized. Here he makes his first public appearance on the human world stage. We have so scant little about what happened in the life of this anointed one as he was growing up. Oh, we have a fleeting reference in the Gospels. I think we talked about a couple weeks ago, Jesus at 8 days old being brought to the temple. There's another reference about him maybe around his bar mitzvah when he's 12 and 13. That's it. Until he shows up, as scholars wonder, perhaps in his late 20s, to be baptized by his cousin John. And here's John the baptizer, repentance preaching, fire breathing John. What'd you think about those words you heard from John in the gospel there? You know, he wasn't a touchy-feely kind of guy. He was more of a warrior spirit preparing a way for Christ. John, who's been preparing the people for a different Messiah, not to be confused with him, who would baptize with Holy Spirit fire. And there he is, Jesus, going under the water and coming back up out of the water. You know, one account has him being baptized by his cousin John, But you know, in my reading this week, I saw one of the Gospels say that John had already been arrested by old corrupt King Herod because John spoke truth to power against Herod, and Herod didn't like that, put him in jail. So it leaves you wondering who was there to baptize Jesus. Maybe it was just Jesus and the Holy Spirit there in the middle of the river. Here he is. When he prays his post-baptism prayer, suddenly heaven opens up like a great door. I love that we still have our Christmas doves up to hold us through baptism. And something happens, some appearance, some visage that he saw that was like an embodiment of Holy Spirit in the form of a dove coming upon him. And a word was spoken to him in a way that other people around him heard as well, saying, "You're my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus is standing there, knee deep in God's dream for him. You know, it's so important to remember that we've been baptized, because baptism gives us new identity papers in this world. It tells us that we belong to God more than we belong to this world. Now, believe me, I believe in being fully embedded and invested in this world, and I want to love this world and hopefully being a difference maker in it as long as I have breath, and I trust you do the same. But baptism reminds us we're part of a bigger story than just this culture, this world. So our allegiance ought to be more to God's ways than to the ways of our culture marked in our baptism. In his book, celebrated preacher and professor Fred Craddock was just an icon of teaching other preachers the craft of preaching there in Candler Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia. He is gone now to God's fuller presence, but many of us, I bet even retired clergy in our midst, have had some influence by Fred Craddock in their life. But anyway, Fred Craddock tells a story about he and his wife being on vacation and eating dinner at a little restaurant in my beloved Smoky Mountains in Tennessee one day. And up to their table walks this elderly man who seems to be greeting other people at their tables and makes their way to Fred Craddock's table and says, "Howdy, folks. How you doing tonight?" And somehow he'd gotten the word about who Dr. Craddock was and introduced himself. "Dr. Craddock, I understand you're a teacher of preachers, huh? Well, let me tell you a story that I think you could tell to your student preachers." And he proceeds to pull up a chair uninvited to Dr. Craddock's table and launches into this interesting story, saying, "You know, when I was born, my mama wasn't married, and that created quite a talk around here. In fact, when my mom would take me into town, often we were stared like a hole through us by people who were trying to figure out just who my daddy was. Well, it created kind of an insecurity in me, and I remember when I got to school, I'd eat alone in the lunchroom. I'd slip into the church down the road by myself, but I didn't want anybody asking me who my daddy was, so I'd slip out of church kind of early. Except one day, I was preparing to slip out early, and a hand came down on my shoulder. It was the minister. Minister looked at me, said, 'Boy, whose child are you? I think you might be,'" took a pause, and the boy is just sweating nervously. But the minister continues, "I think you're a child of the living God. In fact, I can see a resemblance." Then he pats the boy on the back and says, "You go on out of here, and you live out your inheritance as a child of the living God." Well, the now elderly man telling the story says, "I want you to know that was really the beginning of my life." So Dr. Craddock, who's been sitting listening to this story, says, "Well, okay, sir, tell me, what is your name?" Ben Hooper, this is my name. My name's Ben Hooper. Shakes their hands and walks off through the dining room. And Fred Craddock says, he vaguely remembered his parents saying years ago that the people of Tennessee twice elected to be their governor a man who was born out of wedlock to his mother. His name was Ben Hooper. Baptism is what tells us who we most truly are, even if it's something different than what other people know. Here's the deal. God seems to choose to love us into this world. God is the voice that is always calling us back to the good, calling us to an identity, beloved. God wants us to walk in God's ways and never gets tired of inviting us into that. We don't need to get all balled up over whether we feel worthy of that, because if we tell the truth around this room, it's really probably only Jesus who was worthy in making the marks of being loved because of his behavior. Seems like all the rest of us are maybe a bit unworthy and without hope, but for God's sovereign mercy giving us a break. Baptism tells us who we really are. But you know, baptism is not magic. I like to have fun with families when we baptize a little one, when I can see the family 2 or 3 weeks later and say, tell me your little one has been sleeping all night, no temper tantrums, everything going fine. Not so much. We who are baptized struggle just like everybody else to be decent human beings. We are no more or less tempted than anybody else to come in lower than what God's vision for us is. But Jesus showed us, and God gave us a spiritual power to choose a higher and better way. From our baptism onward, we get to live inside of this promise that we will have a strength that comes from another world, to not succumb to culture, to choose a better way and not respond evil for evil, to work for God's good pleasure and God's agenda among other people. That's what baptism is reminding us our identity is about. I love the thought of God standing on a ladder somewhere, or maybe sitting on a star looking down and occasionally saying, you see that one? She's my girl. I see good things ahead of her. She's mine. That thought thrills me, to think that God imagines good futures for all of us. And I think acknowledging our baptism puts us in the place to envision. That's how God is looking at us, seeing the good ahead of us. The ancient Christian catechism says about baptism that it is a visible sign of an invisible grace. The great reformer Martin Luther, who we've tried to talk about here in church, because although he's more credited as being the founder of the Lutheran part of the Christian family, we all lay claim to Martin Luther being a powerful prophet and reformer 500 years ago, getting the Protestant Reformation off the ground. But sometimes we don't know that Martin Luther also really struggled with anxiety and depression that would just lay him low, to where he decided to inscribe a sign and put over his desk that read, "Remember, you have been baptized." And those who knew him noticed Martin Luther at times would lower his head and touch his forehead and say, "Martin, remember, you have been baptized," as if to live up to his potential. What a great mantra to enter our day with. So for these few minutes we're together, I really want to lift out two elements in today's gospel story that I think are worth taking with us today. Two points. First is that baptism is about identity. No matter who your daddy or mama is, the voice from heaven is addressed to Jesus in the first person. "You are my beloved. I am so pleased with you." In an era that where many of the traditional ways for knowing our identity have kind of changed. I want you to think about, over the last 50 years, people nowadays so much more will have a career that has them doing several things over 30 or 40 years of working, not just one thing. Family relationships change. It's less likely that you're going to live in the same place and village all your life as our grandparents or great-grandparents might have done. So it leaves in many people a craving to figure out who they are because the external circumstances seem so fluid. In response to this craving, baptism reminds us that we discover who we are in relation to whose we are. The great claim that we announced again this morning over Amelia. We belong to God's family, and baptism is the mark of that. Second, baptism is really God's work. It's God working through maybe the hands of a preacher and anointed simple water, but it's God's doings. God taking the first step toward us. And every Christian tradition states this. Nothing we do or fail to do can remove the identity of God giving us this gift. Our relationship with God is the one relationship that we can't screw up, precisely because God started it with us. Oh, sure, we can disappoint God, let God down because we lived, took the low road instead of the high road. But nothing we can do can abolish that relationship with a loving God who continues to invite and reform and confront and comfort. Again, in an age when so many relationships are fragile and tattered, it may come as good news that the primary relationship we have in this world with our Creator will not be broken. I think that is so wonderful. So baptism is a big deal. You know, you hear that. It's what we're trying to say today. It was a big deal both for Jesus starting out his identity, and it is important for us to name our identity as baptized people. Everything starts with the river where Jesus entered the waters, placed himself up to his knees in God's dream, and heard the words, "You are my beloved. I'm pleased with you." Now think about it. It's at the moment of baptism that Jesus gets claimed and called. We don't hear anything he's done that's notable before that. No miracles, no great profound teaching. It starts with knowing who he is as a baptized person. God's voice spoke for the first time at the river. You know, we've just come out of the Christmas season. Yeah, you know, the multitudes, the heavenly angels, a lot of noise about getting to that stable in Bethlehem. But there's no accounting of God's audible voice coming to him until this moment that we're celebrating today, where he knows he's someone special, marked by someone special. One more thing. Just like Amelia, daughter of Erica and Steve, being baptized this morning, you know, Jesus didn't say or do anything at his baptism. He just showed up. It was all done from the top down. To quote the Lutheran David Loos, he says, just as in our own baptism, God delights in us without us doing anything in response. You didn't have to do anything to earn it. Paul Tillich is correct when he says, salvation is simply accepting that we have already been accepted. You know, my job... I get to meet with families, as does Pastor Dale, who are going to baptize their little one, as Steve and Erica and I got to sit together a few days ago. And something I try to say is that of all the things baptism is, it is an initiation. It is an initiation before people who will hopefully have a loving influence on this little life. An initiation that'll be the first moment that will lead to tens of thousands of other moments when the sacred image is formed in that young person. And they know God has this delightful adventure that will require sacrifice, but will also have so much fulfillment in it to live a life after the gospel. Now, Will God's grace come to you and me even if we're not baptized? Of course it will. But being baptized, I think, announces to yourself and everyone else the hope that love is going to win, is going to be the last word throughout our living. A writer that I like to turn to because I think she's such a great prophet is Rachel Held Evans. If you want something to inspire you a little bit in your spiritual life over this these long winter nights, I encourage you to pick up anything Rachel Held Evans has written. A quote of hers that I was moved by, and I included it in the quote sheet of your bulletin today, but just hear it here. She says, "In the ritual of baptism, our ancestors and us have acted out the bizarre truth of the Christian identity. We are people who stand totally exposed before evil and death and declare them powerless before love. There is nothing normal about that." Baptism, claiming our baptism, can even be an act of resistance to say we answer to a higher authority than the feel-good antics of our culture. Oh, may we live our days, brothers and sisters, not as normal people, but as tirelessly loving people who know at the beginning and end of every day whose we are. So would you humor me with a mantra? Is in just a moment we're going to come down and touch water, maybe touch it to our head or to our hands, and remember we have been blessed with the waters of baptism. This is the mantra. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in this world. Thanks be to God. May we live as people who believe that. Amen.